Suppose I need my video. Okay, welcome to our virtual meeting. We're going to cover a few basic items before beginning. If you lose connection at any point during the meeting, you can reconnect by clicking the link or by calling the number in your original email. To members and city staff, members, if you're able, please activate your video and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. Staff, if you're able, please activate your video when you are speaking. The chair and committee staff are responsible for muting and unmuting committee members. Use the raise hand feature when you'd like to be recognized to speak, ask questions, or request a roll call vote. During any roll call, all panelists will be unmuted. Staff, click raise hand when you are asked a question. The chair will do their best to call on committee members in the order in which hands are raised. Lowering your hand will take you out of the queue. Members of the public who have registered to speak, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon and will be given 3 minutes to speak. The clerk will tell you when your time is up. After speaking, a member of the body may ask you further questions. If you need to share documentation with the board, please send it to the email listed on today's agenda. Please do not use your video. If you turn video on, it will be shut off. And Chair Braxton, I understand you'd like me to do roll call today.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Let me let some people in here. Terrence probably wants to be at his meeting. Okay, Carrie Braxton.
I am present.
Okay. Mitchell Knight. Jim Kopp,
Here.
Amber Wizza,
Present.
and Katie McDonald has sent her regrets. She will not be here today. So we have quorum. Chair, the floor is yours.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, so we've called order. Apparently, guys, yeah, I'm gonna apologize. I have my granddaughter here. My son is on his way to get her. So you will hear some extra what do you call it? Verbal noises probably in between this until he grabs her. Anywho, that being said, so we've done the call to order, roll call. So 90206, approval of the minutes of the September 8th, 2025 Facilities Programs and Fees Subcommittee meeting. Do we get a motion to approve?
A motion.
Do we get a second?
I'll second.
Any opposition? Any? Okay, it looks like it has passed unanimously.
I apologize. Who was the first?
Amber.
A
Amber,
Amber,
thank you. I
Lisa.
motioned.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yes. And then cop, him cop. Okay. So next, any public comment?
We do not have any public comment, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Any disclosures or recusals? Seeing none. Okay. New business 90213, approving 2026 facilities programs and fees meeting schedule and format. This is, yeah, discussion and possible recommendation.
Yeah, I can kind of get this kicked off for you. So we've proposed a sample of a potential schedule. I think some things for consideration would be the format you guys want to meet in. So if you want to continue virtual or in person, or a combination of both, some virtual, some in person, and the number of dates that you want to meet. Historically, we've met around 6 times a year. There's been some prior conversations around like, is that too many? Should we do like more between 4 and 6? And also keep in mind the end of the year. So for the fee, what we the fees which we are just now navigating through. So we usually try to set aside 2 meetings leading up to the October Park Commission meeting. So we have all of that kind of wrapped into this agenda item. So you can see some some dates. We've typically met on Mondays at 4 o'clock. I think there's a Tuesday meeting in there September due to some prohibited meeting dates that we can't meet on a Monday in September. So yeah, just wanted to kind of throw that out as you guys kind of get to discussing what works for you.
Terrence, have you shared the proposed meeting dates? I'm looking at the, I don't have anything in front of me with those dates.
Yeah, if you look in the agenda, click on the agenda item and it should the date should pop up. So
I just did. And are the rest of you seeing it?
No,
Did you
I think
have
I'm
the
having the
blue
same
link?
issue.
Yeah, I'm not
It's
seeing it either.
blank.
Let me route you a different direction. Do you have your meeting invite on your calendar invite? If you go on your calendar invite that you joined this meeting with,
Me see.
For today's.
yeah, for today's meeting, you should see agenda attachment. Open that up. That should be the agenda. And then if you click on business item number 590213, if you click on that, that should take you to the legislative file with the dates that I'm mentioning.
That takes to the legislation file, but there's no, it says zero records, no records to
If
display.
you go up, are you looking at the text? So it should say history and then text. Do you see that? You know what? I'll put them in the chat if you can't find them.
Can you just bring it up on your screen, Terrence?
Okay, for sure.
Oh,
Yeah.
okay. So if you switch over the text, they're under
Text, yeah.
there. Yeah, not in the his
It
one.
should say
Okay.
here, you should see this tab that says history and then beside it says text. Make sure the one that says text is clicked. And then you should see the information in the
All right, now I see
legislative.
it. Um,
Okay.
well,
I can also drop them in the chat.
okay.
Let me see if I can pull that up.
The necessity for a January meeting, what would that be? Since the you've got a lot of meetings, and yeah, quarterly's fine by me, and maybe more in the fall, but. Is there a need? What topics would be discussed in January and March?
It depends. We'll usually have some agreements and things of that nature that are needing renewal. Those are usually are coming around in early in the year. So between January, first quarter, between January and April, there's also some other things that we talked to you guys about as far as statement of interest, code of conduct, things of that nature that are required by the city's clerk's office are usually on that too. Let me see. I don't know if I can post these in the chat, but can everybody see the dates though? I don't think I have an option to post.
I have them
There's a check
now.
feature. Okay. But yeah, you guys, those are just samples. Like you can determine. We usually try between 4 and 6 what works for your schedule. Again, keeping in mind the end of the year fee, we usually try to get two of those in before the park commission approval in October.
Just looking at all of the dates, I'm fine with all of the proposed dates. I think if we get to any of these dates and there just really isn't anything on the agenda that is pressing or couldn't wait until the next meeting, we could also just be like, hey, we just don't really have anything for this meeting.
I'm in agreement with that.
Yeah, I'm good with that. I know personally I cannot do the January 12th dates. I don't know if that would make sense to move right away because, typically we're kind of close on quorum, or we can just play it by ear and see who's available. But I do think the virtual is a nice option, but I'm also open to in person if anyone prefers that.
Kind of like the virtual because it makes it easy, but I think it is proper to have at least one meeting a year, if not two, in person, so you can actually have a discussion face to face and have learn about the people that are on the committee. Terrence, where are we in filling the vacant positions? It seemed like they've been vacant for quite a while.
So we have a new member that'll be confirmed Wednesday. So that's one, and then we have some other candidates that we're trying to work with to get the other position filled. But we do have a new member that'll be starting the beginning of 26th.
Okay.
Yeah. For if we do in-person or virtual meetings, I'm fine with either. But I agree with your point, Jim. And I would say for the September meeting, where it's the big approval of all the different fees and whatnot, I think that should be in person. If you can only do it virtually, then we should have that option. But I think that should primarily be an in-person meeting.
Chairperson, do you have a recommendation?
I concur. I would prefer if we do have one in person. Virtual works for me, but also we do have one in person. Could it be, okay, slight bias, could it be on a warmer day so we could look out at the lake? Okay, yes, I can. If we can do that. But yeah, I definitely have no problem having a meeting in person. So one, at least one, and then the rest can be virtual or as needed, or if it's something, or if it's because obviously we were meeting in person prior to this year, prior to the last what meeting or whatever. So if it's something pressing, or if it's a lot of topics that we need to cover, then that could deem for being in person. My thoughts. So is it something, is this anything we need to make a motion on right now? Is this for, or we play it by ear and we visit? I don't think we need to motion anything, correct?
I mean, we do need to get a meeting schedule set. So
Okay.
yeah, I think you would need to determine
So
kind
I
of which
will,
route, and then yeah.
let's stick with what he's got because I think it's we can always adjust it. So I'll make a motion to approve this proposed agenda and with a in-person meeting on Tuesday, September 22nd.
Okay, motion to approve proposed agenda with what was the other one?
Well, it's going to be virtual except September 22nd.
Virtual, except for September 22nd. Okay. Is there a second?
Second the motion.
Okay, who's that? I'm sorry.
That was me.
Okay, thank you. Okay, right. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay,
Aye.
anyone opposed? So it looks like this motion to approve for proposed agenda Tuesday, 22nd, a virtual, with the exception of Tuesday, September 22nd, the rest are virtual. That looks like it is passed unanimously. Okay. Next, 90254, Warner Park Community Recreation Center Expansion Program Planning Review. This is informational.
Good afternoon, everybody. Is
Afternoon.
it possible to give me sharing permissions?
Would you
Uh,
need to
you
make
should
you a
have those
co-host?
permissions. You should
Say
have them
again?
already.
Gotcha. Thank you. Everybody see okay? There, all right. Thank you. So my name is Zach Watson. I'm the facility manager here at Warner Park. I've been here a little over 4 years. In that time frame, I've had the opportunity to watch the NO program, which is the Kids Need Opportunities at Warner, grow significantly over our that tenure. And we are at a place now where we're adding a second space, and a new 8,400 square foot gymnasium, as well as a community room studio that we're going to have access to provide better programming, and much more efficient pathways given our staffing structure and who our partnerships are. So that being said, I kind of want to give you just a brief program overview of what we do, who we serve, and then we'll jump into the slideshow at hand. Again, this program since 2021 has seen some remarkable growth, nearly a 40% increase in all after-school participation. In 2024, we provided over 1,100 activity hours, and we engage with over 2,500 family members through our family fun nights. Through some of our basketball tournaments, we recorded over 2,640 participants in some of those programs. So we are definitely a well-attended space. I could grab my other window. I apologize. So in working with our partners, we settled on three really guiding principles. Obviously, we are a gathering place for the Northeast side. We are the only gymnasium within a mile radius outside of East Madison Community Center and then the local MMSC schools. However, in after-school programming, we are the gym that most of our community centers and our neighborhood centers choose to come to, especially when the weather changes. Given that significant attendance beyond our own programming, we are often challenged to find, you know, adequate space to provide everybody with during those times of need, especially, like I said, when the weather begins to change here. We are often asked to host a variety of activities, and given our new spaces with multi-purpose use, we are going to be able to fulfill a lot of those desires and needs. We've had multiple opportunities to engage with a variety of community stakeholders. And again, really, you know, lending a listening ear in those instances, whether it's a survey, whether it's meeting in person. We had several public information meetings, as well as working with each of these individual partners that we serve either on a daily, weekly, or monthly basis to figure out where their needs are, how we can change our current layouts of space, and also what kind of programs we can offer if we were to move in these directions. A list of our community partners are here. Obviously, we have internal partners, MSCR and Newbridge, which are stationed here and provide more of a senior-focused programming during the morning hours. The Madison Starlings had a long-standing here as a practice site. They're essentially their home site where they offer their camps. And given our new gym space, will be a space where they can offer tournaments rather than traveling each weekend. Kennedy Heights Community Center, Viracourt Neighborhood Center, Packers and Northport Community Learning Centers make up the community centers that surround us, also spaces that don't have gymnasiums and often utilize us on a weekly basis during the winter months especially. And then the Madison Metropolitan School District obviously is a partner of ours. However, our goal is to cater to schools that are going to be attending the East High School area, so all those feeder schools, Sherman, Blackhawk, O'Keefe are the middle schools, followed by Lakeview, Gompers, Mendota, Lowell, and this is Emerson in some instances, but those are the elementary schools that would be attending our programming and our spaces. And then the Circle of Friends is the group that does some fundraising, provides some programming as well for seniors here in the area. But those are our partners that we worked with to develop the space layout, the structure, as well as the programs that we hope to offer given the new space that we'll have access to here soon. One of those additions, like I said, will be an 8,400 square foot gymnasium. I have a layout of the lines of the court. This actually court just got finalized and painted this past Friday. So if you have an opportunity to come down and take a look at the center, I'd be happy to offer a tour and kind of walk you around and see what we have going on here. The new space, again, as you can see, we'll have two pickleball courts, one main court for basketball. We'll have two full court side courts, as well as we'll have batting cages along the side walls, as well as two full volleyball courts. And all of these spaces can be quadranted or halved off by our dividers that we have on top. So we'll be able to have, rather than having one large gym with a bunch of kids kind of running around trying to engage in different things, we'll be able to section this off and have different activities, different camp opportunities, separate by age group, we'll have a lot more opportunity to use this gym in a much more efficient way, while serving many more youth and centers that way. The community studio that we'll be adding will be where the old fitness center was located. It's about nearly 2,000 square feet. These are just a couple pictures. They want to be identical to what we'll have, but will be very similar. We'll have a multi-purpose floor with flexible flooring. You can eat on it. You can jump on it. We'll have a large mirror posted on the north-facing wall. And that will also have a large bar where they'll offer dance classes. Again, this will be a space where our after-school programs will come to have their snack and meals in the afternoons and early evenings. This will be a space where we can offer a variety of different recreation opportunities for our senior programming and our MSCR classes that come in the daytime, as well as serve as a home space for our MSCR offers a kindergarten through fifth grade camp each summer, where they take over a portion of the center to offer that daily programming. This will be that home space for that. So they can do everything in one area. In the past, we've had to silo off areas or have certain spaces where they would kind of come going to and from, often created quite a bit of work for flipping rooms for different rentals and things. We'll now have a dedicated space really for youth in the afternoon and evenings, coming from a variety of different areas and programming. Again, this is an example of some things we'll be able to do. We often host tournaments, 3-on-3s, 5-on-5 tournaments, a lot of things centered around sports. Sports-based youth development is the programmatic approach we like to take. We use sports as a hook to bring kids in, and then we bridge off different ways of programming that would come out of that. So I like to give basketball as a primary example, given we are the only inside court in this area that most folks utilize on a regular basis. In the past, we've had summer basketball camps put on by some of the Wisconsin's top players. We like to focus on, again, alumni of East coming back. So we've had the luxury of having folks come back, either from, you know, playing professionally or playing in some of the collegiate opportunities that they've had access to, and come back to provide camps to our kids that we serve here. The spring breakaway tournaments, we offer these during spring break in March and April, and sometimes in summer as well. Again, we have 60 to 80 youth that participate in these events on a regular basis. We've had events where we've provided free haircuts. We often have a DJ dinner. These are all free to the public. We'll now be able to really grow these programs on a regular basis, given our space that we'll have access to. We offer 10 family fun nights a year annually. We'll be focusing much more on targeting holiday area timeframes. So Halloween is typically our largest family fun night. That'll be coming up here the 31st, ironically on the day of. We'll have many more spaces to kind of offer different engaging activities. We'll be able to provide activities we haven't been able to do in the past, given most of our area has been carpeted. Given that we'll have some new spaces, it'll provide us some different opportunities to provide different programs that we haven't done in the past. One of which may be roller skating. However, that we have to try that out ourselves and ensure that the floor will take that. But we'll be ideally moving in a direction where we're going to offer more recreation opportunities. Again, given the space that we've had. Again, bridging off of some of these programs. In the past, we've offered basketball referee training and certification programming. Again, we've had multiple youth and young adults come through this and work their way either to officiating high school games and being WIA certified, to just working simple youth games around the area. We'll now be a space where we can host these tournaments. And again, now, which will then, really lessen the barrier of transportation, which is one that most folks encounter when they get into that profession, having to travel to different small towns and whatnot to go to where the games are. We will now be a place where the games will take place. Prior to expansion, we were offering programming 6 days a week. We would continue to be in that realm, again, with open gym access, structured activities. We always offer a free nutritious snack, meal, or beverage. We'll have a variety of also video game opportunities and other recreation opportunities that we can use in these new spaces, given their multi-purpose and multi-use, as well as expand our partnerships with our other community centers to bring in specific and specialized programming that they may have needs for, that we can offer to more youth, given that we have the space to do so. This is an example of a gym schedule. Again, this would be one gym. We would look at, outfitting it for the day. As you can see, ideally we will be bringing in quite a bit of pickleball, given we will have the courts for it, and we're investing in providing that as a service and as a desire, given our seniors are here during those morning hours and early afternoon hours, and that is definitely an ask of theirs. We'll now be able to provide that in two different gyms. You see, we have fitness classes we'll continue to offer. We'll have a family open gym time. There's various gender-specific open gyms for both men and women. We will continue to offer those things as well as practices. And we'll be able to obviously still continue to offer our after-school program 6 days a week, where most other centers catering to the age group of 11 to 18, those are more 1 to 3 nights a week. For sometimes 1 to 2 hours a night, we'll be a place where that happens 6 days a week. Every evening and every afternoon. That is really the end of my presentation in terms of programming and what's coming my way, and I'm happy to field some questions.
I have a question. Thank you for your presentation and the information. And I'm very familiar with Warner Park. Obviously, I've been going there for many, many, many years, and my son, stepson, participated in various activities. My question, when is it going to open back up?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, tentatively, we are broadcasting. We are on the project website, which is indicated that the construction company will have until December 31st, 25 to finish this. However, our goal is once these spaces are complete and ready to be opened for public use, we intend to open them. It's probably going to be more of a phased approach. The plan is to have a grand opening in January, so we'll have a ribbon cutting ceremony. We'll do that then. But obviously, given the desire to get into the fitness center, to get into the gyms and whatnot, as soon as those spaces are available and open to the public, and ready, we'll be opening those as soon as possible. Time frame, realistically, we are going to be going through a punch list of the gym, the new bathrooms, and then the studio here October 17th. That'll be our first kind of formal walkthrough with the construction company, and it kind of to point out what needs to be either redone or refinished or changed. But again, as those spaces become available, we're going to open those up. My sense is, given where we're at in the construction, the goal would be to have the fitness center sometime, if not before Thanksgiving, if not right after, early December. And then the gym would be kind of long in that same time frame, as well as the studio, just given that those are the spaces that were worked on first. Again, these will be phased. So there's going to be there's some things that we're going to have to learn on our end in terms of how to utilize the scoreboards, the video boards. There's a lot of technology that came our way that we're going to have to get a handle on before we just kind of open the floodgates. The biggest event that's going to be coming our way that will really test kind of our capacity will be our holiday craft fair on December 5th. So that'll be the first larger event that we'll have. We are banking on some of these spaces to be available and open by then to have that event. So my inclination is that's what we're leaning towards. We do have a backup plan in the event that construction is delayed for those spaces to be used in the event it's not ready.
Okay. One more question. Do you know if the fees are going to be raised for the Warner Park Fitness Center for 2026?
No, we'll keep them the same.
Okay. Yep.
They'll be the same as they were. We'll look at 26, right? We'll have a year to kind of, familiarize ourselves with what's going on. Obviously, we're bringing on this pickleball fee. We want to see how that goes. Like I said, we haven't changed anything for the fitness center. We haven't changed anything for the $5 entry for a resident. We'll keep all that as is. We haven't changed. We kept the gym rate hours the same as it was prior. The only changes for fees that we're going to make will be packages. So we're looking at creating these wedding packages and then these tournament packages for the weekends. That's just going to allow us to be better at our job in terms of setting up rooms, having things accessible. And as when folks often do rent some of these spaces, depending on when they rent, I can't tell you how many times I've had a wedding where, oh, well, the meeting room's booked by somebody else or the craftsman's booked. You can't have that aspect. Now we're going to be in a place where we'll offer a package. They'll have all the rooms that typically are asked of us on a regular basis. That's the two big changes that will be coming in
All right.
as far as
Thank you
rooms
very
go.
much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Zach, can you speak to the fitness center reconfiguration?
Definitely. So, given the new studio space, we are going to move the fitness center into the game room. As of now, we have stored all the equipment since the expansion took shape in the game room. I do have some renderings of what it could look like from some of the different from Precor, who's our outfitter for all the fitness equipment that we have. But the idea typically is going to be is that we'll repurpose that game room to become the new fitness center. It's going to be about 1,600, maybe a little under 1,700 square feet. So we're going to lose about 250 square feet from the previous space. However, in my time being here, I have never had the fitness center with more than 8 to 10 people in it at a time. And I know that given the space that we're going to have, we'll still be able to accommodate all those needs. Beyond what I'm going to be doing in the fitness, we're also going to invest heavily in what's going to be going in there. So when you come back to the fitness center, we won't have the same equipment. We won't have the same machines. Precor is actually either owned or in some kind of partnership with Peloton. So we've been in talks with them as well as Madison's Parks Foundation. We have a couple donors interested in really re-outfitting that fitness center to be more modern. And so we'll be looking at bringing in new cardio equipment. We've surveyed all 4,000. So we have 1,300 active members at Warner Park, and then we have about 2,700 members that use our subscription list for emailing. We've reached out to them with a survey asking, what do they want? What do they want the space to look like? What machines are important that we keep? How we want this to look? And we've listened. So, I mean, we've heard loud and clear. Cardio equipment is really the high desire. We will have all those treadmills, all those steppers, the row machines, all the things that people are asking of us. We'll make sure those are staying there. We'll be getting rid of the strength machines, and instead we'll be replacing them with TRX bands and strength bays and conditioning bays that we'll be able to have on the walls. So we're not by any means losing this stuff. It'll be safer, easier for us to maintain. Terry, if I'm sure if you can remember, I mean, when you come in here, I mean, I can't think of a time where we didn't have four or five machines that need to be repaired or fixed. We'll be in a much better place to provide those repair. I mean, I should say we'll repair those things. We'll have equipment that won't need that much attention as it has in the past. We'll also be able to utilize that space much better. Having the studio and then the gyms in that area, I'm also now going to have a better flow of programming. So I mean, with this expansion, doesn't come more staff. Doesn't I'm not going to get another 10 folks to focus on kids. We're still going to have the staff that we have. But however, with the layout that we're going to have, we'll now be able to keep youth really in one wing of the building, which will be really beneficial for us for behavior management, for the things that we're trying to offer. It'll also help for rentals that we'll have in the community room. So really the goal is if you have a recreational activity, you're coming to the gym, you're coming to the recreational studio, that's where those classes are going to take place. Whereas the desire for a more quiet space, meetings, things like that'll be more obviously in the community rooms, and we'll be able to have multiple things happening at once, whereas in the past, much more difficult.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else have any questions for Zach?
Just curious, you mentioned the skating rink or the roller
Roller
skating.
skating.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
might have missed it. Would you have to bring in different flooring for that?
So I'm told that the flooring they have, it's a linoleum kind of, it's over a rubber platform. I'm told we can roller skate on it. However, I've also been told that that may violate our warranty. So I need to get that really ironed out before we do it. But the goal is to have that space where, I mean, I'm not sure if how many of you are from here from the old days, but we used to have a place called the Rollerdrome. It wasn't too far from here. And that was like the place to go for kids when we were 11, 12, 13 years old. It'd be a nice, unique thing to have and offer a roller skating area where you can imagine having a DJ in the middle. It'd be a component of our family fun nights, a component of our teen nights. We also want to bring back these middle school socials that used to happen in the past, in the early 2020s and whatnot. So we'll look at, you know, ideally bringing more activities, but also opportunities for our middle school and our high school youth that they would want to be maybe engaged in, versus the typical activities that we've had in the past. But yes, we will test that first before we get on there. But I'm hopeful that that's something we can do indoors.
It's a super fun idea. I feel like I didn't know roller skating was back in, but I love. Yes, it should be.
Amen.
Okay, any other questions for Zach? Okay, seeing none, thank you very much, Zach, for all the information that you've shared. I will now move down to 90240, discussion of presentations and structure of fee approval process, informational.
Yes, just wanted to, camera turned off. First, just wanted to thank everybody for engaging in the fee process. I know it was a little bit different this year. We're just trying to, as a staff team, trying to figure out ways to continuously improve and make the process more effective. But we have had some discussions and would like to kind of open up some dialogue around your feedback and your thoughts on it, and ideas you may have as we just have navigated from it, on ways that we can make the process better, and the best routes to get you the information, because we do recognize it's a huge, I mean, the fee process is, we have a large complex fee schedule, and it's a kind of a huge undertaking for that September meeting. So we just wanted to try to get some feedback from the committee on thoughts about what happened this year, and then any ideas of how we can continue to improve the process going forward to next year.
I'll just say I had no issues with how it was done. I have no issues. I have no complaints. Money, my two cents.
Terrence, I think during the presentation, you saw some of the things that I look for when doing this, and that's year-to-year comparisons, maybe a narrative of what happened in each one of those years, and then a proposed what is changing and why the any of the fees would be changed or raised, lowered, whatever they might be. I'd like to have those in advance of the meeting, so that the meeting doesn't have to take maybe quite as long. And in simple bullet point items, and not a, you know, dissertation on everything, so that it can be absorbed quickly. And that's what I've become accustomed to when I've ever had to go through a budget process. And those are my thoughts on it.
Jim, let me recap that. So you're saying a year-to-year comparison on the rate, the fees,
yeah,
a narrative about what occurred during that time,
yeah,
the reasons for the change, and then have them in advance. So when we're saying in advance, what are we? So we usually have to have the agenda published. It says we have to have it posted by the Friday before the Monday,
yeah,
but we try to get it before that. So are you saying maybe Monday, Tuesday of the week before, like that far in advance?
Yeah, that's plenty. Yeah,
okay.
It's all I meant. I like to take time, prepare myself before a meeting, so that I don't stumble during the meeting and miss something.
And then have it in bullet point format.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
I think that makes it easy for discussion for each one of these items, and it can move quickly. I'm also, we're gonna have a couple of new members joining. So I think it would be prudent to have their input on this topic too.
Sounds good. We can definitely put it, you know, if y'all want, we can put it on a, also put this back on another future agenda item to kind of bring this back as we get new people onboarded.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I like the bullet point idea. I think maybe just a summary of what the changes are, because there's a good majority that don't change. So just something to slightly call out more what is changing.
Any other comments? Okay, all right, so I'm moving on. Now we're going to move to 90240, discussion of presentations and structure of fee approval process, informational, which we just covered. Informational, excuse me, 90125, informational presentation from staff on Madison Park's qualified discount program, informational.
Hi, everybody. Let me see. Yeah. Terrence, can you allow, or Nicole, can you allow me to share, please? Oh, maybe I can. Never mind. No, I cannot. Thank you.
Your co-host just snuck in. I missed you.
Thanks. You guys. Are you seeing my notes? Or are you just seeing the
The slides?
Qualified discount program.
Perfect. Exactly as planned. All right. So I'm here today to share an update on our qualified discounts program. My name is Kelly Post. I am the Park and Street Youth Supervisor in the Community Services section for Madison Parks. So today I'm going to explain a little bit how the program started, what we've learned through our athletic pilot program, what's coming next in other areas within parks for the qualified discount program, and what you can expect as we move into 2026. So why qualified discounts program? We're developing the qualified discounts program to standardize discounts offered for Madison Park reservations and activities. Our goal is to make the discounts transparent, consistent, and accessible to everybody. These programs will give us a better way to track and evaluate discounts that we offer, which will help parks move towards a more equitable distribution of discounts. The current process for offering discounts, as most of you know, is through a fee modification agreement. There isn't a clear, consistent way to request a fee modification, so it often happens that it's word of mouth or only for people who know to ask for a discount, which means it's just not equally accessible to everybody. Additionally, creating and approving these agreements can require multiple meetings and sometimes committee approval, depending on the amount of discount we're offering, which makes the process slow and inconsistent. Overall, what we're seeing is the number of small number of users with fee modifications receive larger discounts, often just based on historical practices, rather than like a standardized equitable system of discounts. So generally how our qualified discounts program works is first of all, it's designed to be simple, transparent, and accessible for both the user and for park staff. So the general format is that first the users complete a short survey once a year. Next, the survey will give them a score based on how many benchmarks they meet. And then the number of benchmarks will equal a discount percentage. So it's clear and consistent for everybody. So currently, we have a 2025, we have an athletic qualified discount pilot program that we've been using. This chart shows the discounts for that program based on the number of benchmarks a user would get. So first we determined a survey. The survey questions, we took a while to develop and we got everybody's input. We came to you guys, we came to the Board of Park Commission, we got a lot of great input on those survey questions. And then we had to kind of come up with the matrix based on the benchmarks that we offered. So in general, the survey covers things like the organization information, participant demographics, facility use partnerships, program availability, and the cost for participants. And then from there, we made this matrix. For each question on the survey, this is specifically for the athletic survey. There's a qualifying answer that may or may not give you a benchmark depending on how you answer the question. And also the question number five, which was youth programming, is weighted and gives two benchmarks. But the maximum discount that we will be offering is 60%, which aligns with our current youth discount for all athletics. So the athletic reservation QDP was a pilot program, as I said, in 2024 and 2025. 2024, we just started with a couple new athletic users to see how kind of the installation of the program would go and the administrative side of it. And it went well. So then in 2025, we expanded the pilot program to anybody reserving athletic space in a Madison park. And so that has now given us the data we need to start kind of developing this permanent program. So we're just wrapping up, as you know, with the athletic season for this year. We hope to do a really deep dive of that data in the next couple of months. And our goal is to come back to you all in January with kind of a permanent proposal for the athletic qualified discounts program. But so far, kind of generally what we've learned and some of the data on this slide, we received 26 surveys. We sent out a lot more than that. And anytime somebody made an athletic reservation, if they were a new user that we hadn't already reached out to, we sent them that survey. Some chose to take it, some chose not to take the survey. 62% of those taking the survey would receive a discount or did receive a discount through qualified through this program. And the average discount was 26% off of the reservation fee. 27% of those surveyed of those enrolled in the program continue to receive the traditional 60% youth discount. So since it's a pilot program, we weren't ready to totally get rid of the 60% youth discount that we currently offer. We just wanted to see how this program would compare to that discount. So 27% of people who would normally get the youth discount, if we moved to a qualified discount program, would not get that big of a discount. They would get more of a 20% discount. And then there's 12% of those taking the survey that completed the program that got enough benchmarks to get 60% off and also qualified for our youth discount. So either way, they would have gotten the 60% off. Overall, what we're seeing is that more users would get discounts, but the discounts themselves would be smaller and more balanced. Fewer youth groups will automatically receive the 60% discount. And some groups that have previously had fee modifications will likely see an increase in fees. The big picture is that the data suggests that shifting from fee modifications into a qualified discount program will create a more equitable and transparent distribution of the discounts across users. So after we implemented the pilot program for athletics, our team has been expanding and looking at different areas we can this we can use this qualified discounts model in parks. So currently we and for about a year we've been talking about special event permits, shelter reservations, as well as annual or daily permits. And then also something pretty exciting that's come up in the last couple of months is that Shane Martin, the aquatic supervisor, joined our team, and we're starting to work to use this qualified discounts model to work on the Goodman Pool Scholarships Program. That effort just began a couple of months ago, but like I said, but it's moving along really well, and we hope to bring a proposal to you guys as well in January for the Goodman Pool Scholarships for 2026, along with the athletics. So each of these other areas that we're looking at, they have unique users, they have unique fee structures and access factors. So our approach is going to look a little different for each one, but the core processes will stay the same, where there is a short survey users have to take, the survey results in benchmarks, and then that results in a discount based on a matrix that the staff figures out. So overall, we feel confident the qualified discounts program framework we've developed is flexible, that's scalable for other areas in parks, and we're really excited to keep working on this program. And we hope that it makes parks discounts more transparent, equitable, and accessible for everybody. So yeah, we see the qualified discount program as an evolving tool. We look forward to any feedback, ideas you guys have as we keep refining it. So thanks for your time, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Kelly? You might.
Kelly, if you mentioned bringing it to, I think the January meeting, when would you need to like officially launch it in 26 for it to be effective in the year?
It'll be a tight timeline.
Right.
We open up athletic reservations the second one in February. So, we hope to have a really good proposal for you all, and if it's approved, we can just flow right into it. And we hope to also in these next couple months just kind of figure out what that means for staff and our work processes and stuff like that. But from the back end of things, but yeah, it would be a tight turnaround. The Goodman Pool Scholarships, I think we have a little more time. I think they open those up in March to the public, but we really want to get those going. Because we think it'd be a great program for helping us with that.
Yeah, very cool.
Saying that you were going to bring us a proposal for the Goodman Pool Scholarships coming up in January. But do you have like any idea now how that would, change from what the scholarship process has already been like? Because I used to process those scholarships and
Oh.
it was just a very tedious process. A lot of people would, like we, if I'm remembering correctly, you couldn't fill it out online. You could get the PDF online, print it out, and then have to turn it into the pool where I would then, manually end that information. So yeah, how would it be different?
Well, from a general standpoint, it would be different because our current scholarship program, well, I think what would happen was, and I don't really know for sure, so I don't want to say exactly, but I think essentially it would be the survey. So the survey could potentially still be, well, we're hoping to have it online where you can just go in and enter the information instead of have to download a PDF, fill it out, and bring it in. It's certainly something they could email us, but we're really hoping to make it user-friendly and have it more like you just go to the pool website and there's a form on the web page that you can then just answer those 12 or whatever questions. But if we don't get there yet working with IT, then it could potentially be a PDF, unfortunately. But it would be it Yeah, I guess I'm not sure how the workflow exactly would go with it, if it would go to parks or if it would go to our admin staff up front to enter it in.
Any more questions, comments, concerns, anyone? Thank you very much for the information you've shared, Kelly.
Thank you.
Okay, well, you're welcome. So it looks like we're down to adjournment. Do we have a motion to adjourn? Was that Knight? Did you? Was that your hand?
Make a motion.
I'm sorry.
I'll make a motion to adjourn. Can you guys hear me all right?
Yes, now I can. Do we have a second?
One second.
Okay, let me see. Motion to adjourn. So it looks like no, obviously objections. We are adjourned 4:55 on 10/6/2025. Okay. Have a good one, everybody. Thank you very
Good
much.
week.
You guys.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.